Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, however and whenever you may be watching. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that this service is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here at Asbury. In just a bit, my colleague, Brother Hammett Evans, will be bringing a message that reminds us that nothing stands in the way between us and Christ. Please take a moment and let us know you're here. There are multiple ways you can do that. You can scan the QR code that appears on your screen, or just make a comment in the chat. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram. As we gather together, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship by going to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thank you for this moment, for this opportunity to gather as your children. God, we ask that you are with us today, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you transform us through the message, the music, and the scripture. Change us, God, into the image of Christ that you call us to be, so we may go and build the kingdom that you call us to build. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Now I'd like to introduce Nicole Rose, our Director of Children and Young Families, as she shares a special message for our children.
Good morning, Asbury. I'm Nicole Rose. I'm the Children's Director here, and I'm so excited that this morning I get to talk to you for a little bit. So if you are a kid, I want you to listen closely so we can have a little chat about something that I think is pretty fun. You may or may not have played a game called Follow the Leader. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. If you've played it, you know what I'm talking about. So Follow the Leader is when there's one leader and that person gets to decide what the whole group is going to do. So if I was the leader, I might say, okay, everybody pat their head. So then everybody would have to pat their head. Or maybe I might say, everybody do 5 jumping jacks. So then everybody would have to stand up and do 5 jumping jacks. Well, when you play that game, you want to really make sure that you're following a good leader. Because sometimes people could ask you to do some things that you probably shouldn't do. So like if we were at school and I was the leader and I said, okay, I'm the leader, and I want everybody to pick up the biggest rock you can see and throw it on the playground during recess. Is that a good idea? Is that a good leader? I don't think so. Or what if I said, okay, in the middle of worship this morning, I want everyone to stand up and run around crazy with their arms flying everywhere in the middle of Brother Hammett's sermon. That's probably not a good leader to follow either. So you have to be really careful about who you choose to follow. And we have to look at what those people do and make a decision on, are we going to follow that person? Well, the Bible gives us some very clear directions on what kind of actions we should do and follow and what kind of person we should follow. So I'm going to read a little bit about what the Bible says about who to follow, okay? All right. In Leviticus chapter 22, Verse 31, it says, keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. In Leviticus 19, verse 37, the Bible says, keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord. In Matthew 4:19, it says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will teach you how to fish for people. All the time, Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. And that was a lot. He says it a lot in the Bible. So in deciding who to follow, there's no better leader than Jesus. And all of you do such a good job already following him. You come to church and you're participating in Sunday school and you're telling people about Jesus in church. And so if we do those things and if we study him, then we'll never go wrong. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And that's what we should all do, and that's what we're trying to do. And then we'll be able to follow the best leader of all, Jesus. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for being such an amazing leader. And thank you so much for putting people in our lives and in our church that can lead us, that we know are good examples to follow. We love you very much. Amen. I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Nicole, for that wonderful message. Because Christ gave us so much, we give to others. You're welcome to support our ministries here at Asbury Online, and you can do that multiple ways. You can do it via text by texting AsburyUMC to 73256. You can go by snail mail, sending a check to our physical address, 1700 Napa Valley Drive, or you can scan the QR code on the screen, and you can find out more about those options and others. When the Spirit moves, people who were excluded find a home among us. I invite you at this time to pray as Diana and Caleb share This Is a Move.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. And yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. And yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are.
Good morning and welcome to Asbury. I'm Hammond Evans, the senior pastor, and I'm so glad you're with us. Today we reach the end of our lifelong learning series. We've been talking about the seismic shifts in thinking the early Christians had. Listen now as Amy Liver shares the story of Philip and a eunuch from Ethiopia.
I'll be reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. An angel from the Lord spoke to Philip. At noon, take the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he did. Meanwhile, an Ethiopian man was on his way home from Jerusalem, where he had come to worship. He was a eunuch and an official responsible for the entire treasury of Candace. Candace is the title given to the Ethiopian queen. He was reading the prophet Isaiah while sitting in his carriage. The Spirit told Philip, "Approach this carriage and stay with it." Running up to the carriage, Philip heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you really understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "Without someone to guide me, how could I?" Then he invited Philip to climb up and sit with him. This was the passage of scripture he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants, because his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, about whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Starting with that passage, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, water! What would keep me from being baptized?" He ordered that the carriage halt. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water where Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Lord's Spirit suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip found himself in Azotus. He traveled through that area, preaching the good news in all the cities until he reached Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Amy. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us wherever we are gathered, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Duck, 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 goose. I jumped up and ran as fast as my little pre-K legs would carry me around the circle. One hand reaching, grabbing, trying to touch just a tiny bit of my prey. No way. Get in the mush pot, Hammett. There I sat, left out alone until I was replaced with a new goose. You know, we start excluding others at an early age, don't we? One potato, two potatoes, three potatoes, four, five potatoes, six potatoes, seven potatoes more. My mama told me to pick the very best one, and you are not it. Well, we get older, and we keep doing it. You didn't make the cut. Take a seat on the bench. Your application has been received, but we regret to inform you, let's just be friends. I've said those things and I've heard them said to me. All nice ways to say, you don't belong here. You don't fit in. You're too tall, too fat, too skinny, too blonde, too bald-headed. You're the wrong color, the wrong gender, the wrong religion. You love the wrong people. We get better and better at the excluding game, until we are surrounded by people who look, sound, and dress just like us. It happens in the church too. Those people don't belong here. You can't have that idea or have committed that sin or be a part of that group or think that way or dress that way or be that way or look that way or have those friends or live in that neighborhood and go to our church. I heard a story about this church-going fellow who became friends with an elderly gentleman. He was praying that this older man would come to church with him, kept inviting him over and over again, but he would never come. The older man was a well-respected man and honest. He acted like a Christian should act. He just never went to church. One day his friend asked him if he had ever been to worship. The man paused and then his face twisted into a frown. He said he grew up in a large family. Even after the Depression, they had trouble putting food on the table and clothes on the backs of the children. He said he was about 10 years old when one of his friends invited him to go to church with him. He accepted the invitation and went. He loved Sunday school. He enjoyed singing the songs and hearing those great Bible stories. No one had ever read the Bible to him before. But at the end of the class, the teacher came over and said, "Son, please don't come again dressed like that. We want to look our best when we come into God's house. He thought for a moment and said, no, ma'am, I won't ever. The gentleman looked at his friend and said, you know what? I never did. Later on, his friend asked, what if that church would have thought, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me? Yes, I saw him in the church house for the very first time on Wednesday, and I cried as I looked at the immaculately dressed old gentleman lying there in his casket. He was looking his best, but all I could think of were those words of an impressionable little 10-year-old boy echoing in my mind, no, ma'am, I won't ever. Sad to say, it's nothing new. It's as old as the dust on the streets of Gaza. The ancient world was just as segregated as we are. The Bible itself draws some of those lines. In his ministry, Jesus crossed the boundaries of culture and ethnicity. Jesus welcomed people that scripture and religious leaders excluded, lepers, Samaritans, women of ill repute, so many others. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit empowers the followers of Jesus' way to continue breaking through those boundaries. One way to look at Acts as a whole is to see it as an ever-growing circle, spiraling out from Jerusalem to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth, just as the risen Christ said. As the circle grows, new boundaries are crossed, and people who never had a place in God's family are now included. Such is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, I won't go into great detail, but a little background is helpful. Deuteronomy 23:1 explicitly prohibits eunuchs from God's congregation. In fact, they are number one on the not allowed list. Some eunuchs were born that way. Some were made that way against their will. Others willingly had the procedure to show their loyalty to a powerful ruler. Some cultures punished individuals who loved people of the same gender with the same procedure. It's barbaric, I know. Because they had no desire for intimacy, many eunuchs became trusted confidants in government and caregivers in wealthy households. If you're a Game of Thrones fan and you're thinking about Lord Varys and Grey Worm right now, you're not far off the mark. Even though they were number one on God's not allowed list, the Bible anticipates the day when even eunuchs would be included. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says, "Don't let the immigrant who has joined with the Lord say, 'The Lord will exclude me from the people.' And don't let the eunuch say, 'I'm just a dry tree.' The Lord says, 'To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, choose what I desire and remain loyal to my covenant. In my temple and courts, I will give them a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give to them an enduring name that won't be removed." That brings us to Acts 7. In Acts 7, Saul, who later becomes Paul, oversees the execution of Stephen. Persecution erupts. Saul proceeds to start hunting down Christians, going from house to house and throwing them into prison. Christians flee Jerusalem, seeking refuge in outlying towns and villages. Now that sounds like bad news, but the good news is these persecuted Christians carried the good news with them and started spreading it everywhere they went. They told everybody they could about Christ. As he fled persecution, Jesus' disciple Philip proclaimed Christ boldly in Samaria. Saul would never look for him there. Acts 8, verse 10 says, "Everyone, from the least to the greatest, gave Philip their undivided attention and referred to him as the power of God called great." Once God's family expanded throughout Samaria, God told Philip to go southeast to Gaza, and so he did. Meanwhile, a eunuch who was an advisor to the queen of Ethiopia was traveling on their way home from Jerusalem. They'd been there to worship. Now, it's 1,600 miles from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. Today, that trip takes 85 hours by car. So imagine, to travel that far, even though they would not be allowed to worship with everybody else. On the journey, they were reading the book of Isaiah, the very book that foretells the day when people like them would be included in God's family. The Spirit tells Philip to go to the eunuch, and so he does. Seeing what they're reading, Philip asks, "Do you understand that?" The eunuch says, "How could I without someone to guide me?" And they invite Philip to sit beside them. They say, "Here's what I'm reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants because his life was taken from the earth?" Then the eunuch asks, "About whom does the prophet say this? Himself or someone else?" It's a good question. It's one we discuss in great detail in Disciple Bible Study. Philip tells the eunuch the good news of Jesus Christ who suffered on behalf of others. Hearing this, the eunuch turns to Philip and points to a nearby stream of water. "What stands in the way of me being baptized?" Now, in a way, the answer is everything stands in the way. The Bible explicitly excludes eunuchs. But this is Philip's seismic shift. He gives no answer. He asks no questions. Doesn't ask, "Were you born this way? Was this your choice? Or was this done to you?" No theological questions, no statements of belief, nothing. They simply stop the carriage and climb down. Philip baptizes the eunuch and welcomes them into God's family. So what stands in the way? The answer is nothing. Nothing stands in the way of joining God's family. Through his suffering, death, and resurrection, Christ has removed every barrier that keeps us from him by God's grace. Maybe you need to hear that today. You've had too much judgment, too much scorn, too much ridicule. You've traveled so far only to be left standing outside the door, hoping, waiting to be let in. You are loved in a way that none of us can ever truly comprehend. Not because of who you are or anything you have ever done, but because that's who God is. God loves and God invites, welcomes, and includes you in God's family. Well, there may be someone in your life that needs to hear that. They just can't believe that God would love someone like them, much less invite them into God's family. You can be their Philip. Go to them, engage them, listen to them, offer Christ to them, and don't let anything stand in the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. As we enter a time of prayer, I invite you to name any prayer concerns or celebrations you have by putting them in the comments. Let us pray. God of love, we thank you for Christ, for his suffering, death, and resurrection. In him, you have removed every obstacle between us and you. Give us your Holy Spirit so that we might carry forward Jesus' ministry, just as Philip did. Help us to love the unlovable and touch the untouchable, welcoming all into your family. Holy God, we lift up all of the concerns on our hearts this morning. We pray for Afghanistan. We pray for our citizens and for anyone anywhere who is in harm's way. We lift up those who are ill. And we lift up all of our medical workers as they fight to bring healing. We pray for Christians throughout the world and for those in our own congregation whom we name before you. Clifford Smith, Jesselyn Sinkhorn, June Glazier, Betty Hill, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, June Counts, Patty Shoemaker, Joe Odell, Lanny Langley, Nate Hill, Jay McDaniel, Jessica and Jonathan Sears, and their twins, Luke and Olivia. Tiffany Kehayoff on the death of her father. And God, finally, we pray for ourselves. Help us to love one another as Christ first loved us. Help us accept ourselves and help us accept one another as Christ has accepted us into your family. We pray this in his name. And now we pray as he taught us, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to listen as Diana and Caleb share the hymn, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart.
Thank you for joining us, and thanks to everyone who took part in this service. I hope you enjoyed learning about the seismic shifts that Paul, Peter, and Philip have in the book of Acts. I invite you to come back next week as we take a look at one of the most difficult passages in the Bible, when Jesus meets a woman in Tyre. If this service blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. And now would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ. With Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.